Ooh, that's fine. That's, we can do that.
Just take them instead of the other?
Yeah, we can talk about that way after these guys. There are more people waiting.
I forgot. Let's move to the staff departmental update with Road and Bridge. Included within that is a storm update. And we've got Senator Doyle here. We have him individually listed as tornado relief for businesses, but that could also fall within that storm update if we choose.
Do we have time for a couple of others?
Sure. You bet. What I'd like to do is, while we're going, is if there's no objection, is to move. Do I do that? Move Doyle into it, get his presentation, and let him go, or should we hold him until?
He's not. I mean, he's good for 10 o'clock. That's what we have it posted for. So
we'll be with these guys for a half hour.
Yeah, right? We may just pause.
Okay. But then again, if he's going to be a half hour, then these guys would have to wait.
So right.
Let's move. Go ahead, Randy.
Okay. Storm update. As far as our tornado debris, it has slowed down considerably. I think a lot of this is due to the weather, partially. But we're getting fewer and fewer loads showing up at Shoals Bend, and David can relay as far as transfer station, but it has slowed down to where we're able to keep up fairly easy, possibly even pull a truck off maybe next week. We're at that point now. The weather has slowed it down somewhat. I'm sure on part of this, but we'll wait and see. But that's where we're at as far as the debris part of the situation. We haven't received any stump debris or anything yet. So,
well, that's a big undertaking for an individual.
They are. I mean, that's, and that may. Really don't, not sure how much we'll receive, if any, so it's just a wait and see type.
We don't have any of those that are on our right of way that we can pick up?
We've already done that.
All right.
I do have you listed some information there within the storm debris. Our costs up to the 13th of March, and that's our cost for removal on county roads within the right-of-ways of what we've done today, or through the 13th.
Randy, why don't you announce what that amount is through March
13th? From the day of the storm, the overtime machine and material, as of 13th March, we have spent $90,802 on the storm debris cleanup. That's about all I have as far as storm debris cleanup. Okay. So a lot of it's just kind of wait and see what next week is going to look like right now.
Just so, move through each one of your issues.
Okay. The other item, Central Taney County Fire, gentleman working with them has asked if they could put a antenna on our tower at Hilda to help them with coverage. So I told him I would, our next meeting with you, I would bring that up and get your gentleman's thoughts.
Do we have other people on the antenna?
No. Basically, it's just our own two-way radio antenna on there with the repeater in the building underneath the tower or close to it. And
we don't have any policy in place that would prevent us from doing this, do we?
I mean,
I'm not aware of any.
We lease some space here. I don't know if we charge, but we have some standard contracts here, I think, don't we?
That I would have to check into.
I have no problem with it. I think we'd just like to do some paperwork to make sure that we're
right.
I mean, covered in case the antenna fell off and hit someone below and it wasn't our antenna. I mean, general liability protection things.
Or if one of them right. fell off putting it up.
Right. I mean, all those things.
Well, they're asking to put an antenna on the tower, and then they're going to need coax run into the building, and there's a piece of equipment that sets in the building, which there's ample room for that in there anyway. So
I'm fine with okay. them moving forward. I just like to know the details so we can okay. get our attorney to and put some sort of agreement in place. Is my perspective is, you know, the cost, we're not liable for the equipment in the building, you know, things like that. I think the electrical usage would be very minimal. I mean,
yeah. The other item, about a week ago, the IT department had come to me. We have a fiber line that runs between the judicial building and over to the building where planning and zoning and sewer is. Part of this line was they're able to locate, but part of it is across the street here. They lose connection. The location wires evidently broke. They've asked if we would assist in pothole digging to try to help locate this for the contractor that's working on this senior center type construction. And I told them I'd need to bring this up with you guys. Part of this is going to be within the city street easement, and part of it may be on the property there. I'm not sure.
Is what the contractor wants their obligation to do?
The contractor doesn't want to dig it up. He just wants it located because he doesn't want to hit the fiber and be
neither
responsible for it. Do that.
Neither do we.
Well,
I think
understand that
the dig right people... the responsibility of the construction people that are wanting this done lays simply there in their responsibility.
Well, and they've done that, but the problem is IT can't locate it because part of the location wire is evidently broke. They can locate part of it, and I know where part of it is by work that we've done in the past in parking lots, so we know where part of it is, but where they're actually working, it's, and they even had the guy there that installed the fiber, and he was really unsure in a couple areas. So, anyway.
So, if we can't locate it and we don't want to do it, they're just going to dig and hope not break it.
Well, if they break it, I get.
Thank you, sir.
Well, the fact is digging test holes to look for something that lays within the city. We haven't been approached by the city.
No.
I don't think is a responsibility of the county until we work out a agreement or some sort of documentation. I don't want the whole, we break the fiber and everybody in the city of Forsyth is going to be mad at the county for digging an existing hole and out mm-hmm. there searching around for a line, and I'm not in favor of that yeah. until there's other process take place.
I was asked by IT department and the contractor. You know, that's is I don't know what city's involvement. Basically, I'm sure the construction's within the city, and I'm
the contractor who's renovating the buildings.
Water. Isn't it water? He's looking for water. What's the purpose of the contractors for water, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got to put in stormwater drainage
that's what I thought.
Type system, which is going to connect into the system that runs under judicial. But
this got installed back when my first year, when I first got here in 09, and I know that didn't we have some issues with someone saying that we, based off that job, we flooded someone's basement? You remember there's a water something?
Was there a claim
or something, Danny?
Been in all kinds of discussions.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I don't know what all the issues there were, but
I think contact the city and find out the documentation they have on this particular situation.
Okay.
And then try to figure out some agreement that we have. It's on city property. And I'm not gonna go out and start digging potholes.
Well,
check.
So is this something the contractor has offered to pay us for?
No. He just wants a line located. He's called Dig Right. He wants a line located. He can't proceed until that's found because he doesn't want to dig and break it.
And, we don't want to dig and break it either.
You know, it's going to be expensive to repair or fix if it does get broke. And
I agree. See what the city's thoughts are.
Okay. We have posted signs. We have several roads, and I've listed them here. With past 3-4 days of rain, some of these are probably open at the creature seed. Some of them will probably be 3-4 days yet before they're actually passable. Bull Creek, for one, takes a while for it to run down. But anyway, we're monitoring these and keeping an eye on them. We've also started our KDOC project, and we're in the process, but we're having to wait till the rain kind of subsides where we can have more progress there. Right now, we're just removing the trees and brush off of it and trying to do what we can until it dries. It wetter helps us, so. A few weeks ago, we talked about two other roads, and I told you I would look at them and come back with some more information on these. These two roads were Church Camp Road and Castle Rock Road. Both of these roads will probably need to be surveyed in them areas just to determine exactly where the boundaries are to see if we can fit this fill within the right-of-way existing or if we're going to have to acquire some additional. One of them, I think we may have to acquire additional right-of-way. Castle Rock may have to have some utilities if it does have underground electrical along this area. But there may be ample room not to be involved with the electrical, but without surveying it, I'm not sure where the other right-of-way is. I think the road favors one side of this right-of-way on this particular area. So that I've also put kind of estimates there. We do have the fill material at our shop locations. It's just... right now, scheduling time, I'm looking, this will probably be a fall project at best right now for other things that we need to move into.
You're estimating $15,000 to $20,000 per road?
Yes.
And that's with using our own fill?
Using our own fill plus then the aggregate and then putting the surface back on.
Okay.
Them particular areas.
There's more involved. I visited location and looked at it, and when we fill, that's going to push the water that exists over on property owners that are not even affected by the water right now. So we're going to have to evaluate all that, and we're going to have releases from those people about the amount of water. They both lay in sinkholes that there's no place for the water to get out, and it just has to sit there until it's until it slowly moves out. And it's a difficult situation. I went to both locations, and Randy had already been there. So
one of them has water currently, but it's not another week's worth of rain. I'd say it would probably build up and be underwater, but right now it's not got to the
something going to have to be addressed, but I don't know how we're going to have to go through a process of release forms from property owners and things like that before we.
Because we can't move that water that's standing there. There's nowhere to move it. Down the
easement.
Nowhere
to go with it. It's kind of
The terrain is higher
all around it.
All around it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've pulled this up on topo maps and it shows the very same thing. So.
Okay.
We took the Castle Rock Road in the first year that I was in office, and the chip and seal and stuff that was put on it then just added to the fact that there's water that collects in this hole, you know, and it had pea gravel on it at that time, and I guess that pea gravel was to kind of break the water flow and stuff that could come down the road, but we got chip and seal on it now, and it just runs into that hole, and I guess we just have to check all the property owners there and see what they're willing to do.
So I guess, Randy, what you're going to do is talk to the property owners?
Yes.
Okay.
And when that's really flooded, how deep does it get there on both?
One of them will get at least 2 feet deep, approximately. They estimated probably 2 to 3 feet. The other one, probably a little more than that.
Okay.
So I know one of them, you're still able to take a fairly high pickup through one of them. You couldn't take cars through either one of them, and I think the other one ended up just using a tractor to transport back and forth. So
help me with this, if I'm understanding. The possibility exists we can raise both roads, obviously. Yeah. But in so doing, we're going to displace the water back onto their properties.
We're going to displace a certain amount of that water. It will cause it to expand just a little farther.
Sure.
I don't know whether it involved anybody else's property or just them that's already affected.
I have a concern for emergency services. Mm-hmm. It's a real concern of mine. But like I said, there's going to have to be some negotiating with the property owners, existing property owners on both sides, and I think it's something we need to address. I know that Randy has made mention of the work schedule and it being later in the fall. I'd like to proceed earlier if possible, but we have a lot of stuff going on. That's his scheduling to take place there, but we have to look at all those things and maybe even have a access to get out of there, for those people to get out of that area. There's, what is there, 2 or 3 homes on the other side of that?
One of them has 4 homes, and the other one, I think, 5 currently living under.
So, something we'll keep on top of, and I've been out there several times, and I'll keep with Randy and maybe visit with some property owners and stuff about what we can do.
Okay.
We started getting some repair work done on the vehicles that were damaged at our Mount Branson facility. We still have glass people, I think, working on part of them. We're close to getting our contractor started on working on the buildings and fixing the fuel pump. We've got working with Dixie and the insurance people. I think we can get started next week, or at least get them contacted and start getting some of this repaired. The meeting that I listed there at Calico Rock, I didn't really see a need in going to that one right now. That's quite a ways down there to go. So that's dealing with the Slough Hollow,
and other issues.
Arkansas fishing game. And, I did have one question. I don't know, did they send a up-to-date set of plans to you gentlemen on this road? Because I haven't received
I don't have anything.
Unless these guys have anything, that's all I have. The other has to be an exec session meeting, so.
I got something versus Stottle. We're talking about glass recycling. We've opened the bunker. Commercial people can dump their glass now. Okay. The question, I guess, comes from individuals. Can individuals, we met last and talked. What did we agree to?
They can.
They can, but we're not putting the bunker out front by the gate.
No.
If they want to drive back there, they can throw it in there themselves, but we're not doing anything other than that. Okay.
Jim, in that discussion was the fact that glass has to be, it can't contain any liquids or anything like
no
that.
No bags, and no, I mean just...
The bags, they can't throw a bag full of glass into that hole.
They got to keep the bag.
I mean, but the...
You're going to bring that up.
Correct. Okay. We're not manning it, we're not sorting it, but the biggest question came from was individuals.
Okay.
I think there was a desire to have a bunker out by the gate. We said no, and so if they want glass, they can go throw it in the bunker. I just want to make sure that's what we agreed, I thought, our last meeting, but I just want to reiterate that.
But at no charge.
At no charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
For glass.
For glass only. And I've talked to Karen. I know you've talked to Karen, that she knows that. So, but I think the question was, there was a hope that we were going to put a bunker, a container by the front gate. And that was just, didn't make sense for us to do that from labor and liability. Okay, I just wanted to clear that up because I had an email and Scott saw an email. And so we can clear that all up now. Perfect.
Devin?
On these estimates I got, I had them estimate coming back with metal or coming back with shingles. It was like 2,500 difference. You all have a preference which way you want to go?
I want to go with metal if we can. There should be more than $2,500 difference if we have to reshingle it from a hailstorm. What would you guys think?
You guys, metal? Shingle, metal?
It'll make me any difference. He's the one working out of there. It's noisier with metal, but I would rather prefer it.
That's fine. That's fine. Metal.
That's all I have.
I say it works pretty well. The transfer is moving all right. We tried to bring that extra tracker out when we start the KDOT project. I mean, if it gets busy again, I'll have to call him back. He knows that. So.
Right.
We're okay there.
Excellent.
Good. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Randy, is there a personnel thing that we're going to call you back for?
Yeah, I'd like to. I got a couple of things I'd like, but that has to be.
We have executives scheduled if we don't run out of time for today.
Actually, so, we should be ready in about, well.
We got a few things ahead of us.
Yeah.
We'll call you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Childers. Next order of business scheduled is tornado relief for businesses. And your preference, if you'd like to sit or stand, that's entirely up to you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Let me have you either, you can go to the podium or you can sit over here at the microphone, which it's just that we are broadcasting and recording, so that works best for us.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the chance to meet with the commission this morning. This came about when the news hit about that the federal disaster assistance wasn't going to be available after the storm. And I've been working with this for some time, but it's mainly been with some large industrial operations and more up in the St. Louis and North Missouri areas where it started out at, because they were involved from the beginning in this process. Back in 2009, a federal law was passed that's called SHART PACE, the PACE legislation. It had two parts to it, a residential part and a commercial part. It was set up to provide a new funding source for business to improve efficiency, major improvements on business operations, or originally it was residential, though that, and I'll explain a little bit about why that is not in effect right now. But the idea was, at that time, it was very difficult to get funding for a business. It was pretty well frozen. And this allowed a means of funding business improvements, energy improvements. That's why it's called Property Assessed Clean Energy. Is the actual name of it. The state of Missouri was one of the earlier states to go ahead and pass enabling legislation to mirror the federal. And that passed in 2010. And then the organization that I work with was formed in 2011, which is the only one in the state of Missouri. Technically, you could form multiple of these organizations, but because it's dependent on actual bonding, it creates some real problems of sustainability. If you have a bunch of small bond issuances, the costs go up, and it's not really too feasible to go that direction. So there is one statewide organization formed out of Jefferson City is where it's based that oversees this. The process is such that if a business entity, a commercial entity, or a public entity wants to do improvements. Missouri's law is written very broad. The language says shall include but not be limited to. We wanted that language in there. And the wording for it allows a lot of work to be done. It could involve adding extra insulation. It could be really rebuilding a structure, which is what we were looking at with this tornado situation. It can be used for all sorts of industrial type operations that increase efficiency. It's really very, very broad. You could do almost anything, windows, rebuilding, roof, you know, a lot of different things. The way it is set up, it really allows almost unlimited funding opportunities for a community to encourage business development or redevelopment. If you have a community that has older buildings, it's greatly advantageous to them to lower the cost of utilities with utility costs and with improvements there. If it's something like with the tornado damage, obviously with rebuilding, some or most of those will have some level of insurance. The insurance may not cover doing everything back at the level they would like to do. This could fit into it. And the process is such that the city or a county, if it's in an incorporated area, it's the city. If it's an unincorporated area, it's the county, actually does an application to the district. And that application has no liability for the city or the county. It just allows the residents of that political subdivision to participate in this statewide program. The different business properties then would actually form an application or put in an application for whatever their needs are under the perimeters of the legislation, which are pretty exhaustive. And that would then go into a pool that is funded by bonding, and the bonds are set up to be paid as a property tax assessment, very much like the old Section 100 type funding, only it's the individual property that responds for it, and it goes for up to 20 years. So there's some of the projects we've been working on are power plants, some major renovation of some major corporations in the state, some of the areas there, but it works just as well for smaller business. It's just so new that this was the first time I've really approached anyone under this because of the unique characteristics of the tornado damage. But what it would take is the first act would be for a community, whether county or city, to say we want to join, and they apply to become a part of the district, and at that point then the local residents of that political subdivision could then avail themselves of this process. Rates are very competitive on it. Depends on the entity I work with, its structure, the district, its structure is agnostic about who funds it. If you have a bonding company, Stiefel Nicholas or whoever it might be that does your funding, they would be equally able to participate in setting up the bonds or as any other entity that would do that, any credible entity. The big process or the big advantage of this is that any business that wants to improve it, to be able to have the savings they could do by, if they have a location they could do it, ground source heat pumps, for example. Huge savings on the energy that's consumed. These pay out pretty quickly, but it helps their bottom line because as a property tax assessment, it's not a liability such as they would have if they had a mortgage on their property. So it's very advantageous for a situation such as the storm damage that took place. But almost any business, and I can think of, for example, Hollister and Forsyth didn't have storm damage. But there are a number of buildings here and businesses that could avail themselves of it. Branson obviously has parts of the city that were not hit by the tornado. They could use it. Kimberling City has the same situation, so as does other parts of Stone County. So that's, just in a nutshell, is to give you a little advance information, the what I call the experts on finance that are the real brains of this, We're at another operation up in North Missouri that is a major commercial operation, and they were committed to being there and were not able to be here this week. So I said, well, I will go down, present it to get the ball rolling because of the urgency of the business community in trying to rebuild, you know, coming up. So that's just in a nutshell what the program is. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
You said the first step is to join the district. Is that correct? Yes. What's that? What is the process like for that?
Okay, it's you just set forth a. It's really pretty simple. Okay. It's designed to be streamlined, but the district, you turn in an application for it, and you just say this political subdivision wants to join the district for the benefits of our constituents. That's basically what it is. Pretty simple, pretty simple process. The Stoller Law Firm, I don't know if you have heard of them, but they're one of the two or three largest and major economic development law firms. They almost every major development in the St. Louis area, some of them in the Kansas City area, and in other states, they have been the legal entity that does that. So they're the recognized experts on it, and they're the legal firm for the organization I work with, the district.
Okay.
Well, if the county and or the cities have the ability or have the ability to form a district like this,
they could.
What would be the advantages to them doing that rather than working through the organization that's already formed?
I don't really know. I think it may have been set up for East Coast or West Coast entities that have very large populations and might be able to do it at that level. The only one that has indicated an interest, and I think they have decided that it's probably advantageous to stay with one district in the entire state, is St. Louis. St. Louis looked at it and said, we might want to form our own district, but we've met several times, and I think their latest issue is that they think that it probably will work better. There's several of the suburban cities that are fairly good size that are in the process of passing their ordinances right now. So I don't know that they finished it yet, but they're very close, I think, on that in the St. Louis area.
Could you get to us or have whomever send to us the paperwork that's necessary to do this?
We will get that. We are tentatively scheduled to have them down, and I've got to make sure everyone's schedule is clear, at next Friday at 1 o'clock to meet on that in this area with Stone, Taney, and anyone, you know, on that. So that may be a good time to be able to, if that would fit within the commission's schedule, to maybe everyone attend so everyone gets the same message and hears the same information and everything on that, if that would work.
That's the 30th, is that correct?
That would be the 30th. That is the tentative date we've set. If it's, there were people at the earlier meeting this morning from Stone County and from Branson, and they said that looked like that was a clear date for them because they have some other conflicting dates otherwise.
Should you give me that time again, Doyle?
At 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. And where's it going to be?
I understand they probably will set the exact location, but they were talking about using some fairly large meeting room, but I don't know the exact. They were discussing that, so I'm not absolutely sure on that yet. And I'm going to send out information. As soon as I get back, I will check with the folks up there and make sure they're clear to be there too. Because they're the technical experts. I don't pretend to have all the answers, except that I've worked in the economic development world for, well, now almost 30 years, and this is probably the best process that I have seen in my 30 years for the business community to be able to fund advantageously improvements that help their bottom line.
So let me understand this, because we mentioned individually that they form as a pool. The group that would be interested would form as a pool or individually?
Each individual would submit an application to the district.
Okay.
And that would be done so that they can form a pool large enough to be cost-effective for issuing the bonds.
Okay.
Because if you had a lot of smaller districts, you'd never get really enough size to be cost-effective on it.
And the tax assessment process, if you formed that district, then everyone that was in that district would pay taxes towards that. Kind of like you said, talking about the tax 100.
Yes.
You've made mention of that, and I've...
Yeah, section 100.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's based off of that same tax.
It's similar only with this, by having a statewide district, the bonds can be diversified so you don't have a concentration. That apparently is a big issue with the bond council. The more concentrated your location is, the more susceptible you are to a major loss that would affect it, like a tornado. But by having it in a pool that is a statewide pool, then you're able to actually lower that cost, and it makes it more risk-free for the bonds, and also tends to lower the rates.
Okay. I just had two or three things.
But there is no liability whatsoever to the city or the county. They just, it's just an allowing their constituents to actually be involved in utilizing this process. And the district is a political subdivision. It is a political subdivision. There is one, on the very back page of the statute, there is one provision that deals with QECB bonds. And I don't know if you're familiar with those. They're a very specific type of bond that was issued by the federal government to and allocated to the different states. Missouri originally had about $65 million of these. They're allocated to the large cities, and then I believe there was about $15 or $20 million that was allocated to the state at large. Springfield received some, Joplin received some, a number of the larger cities, St. Louis, Kansas City, Columbia, I think, they had their own separate allocation under the federal provision. There is still some of those bonds available, but we don't know. They're stretched pretty thin, and they're very desirable if they fit within the characteristics, and I think they would fit within this. If there's any of those available, they reduce the cost tremendously on the bonds. There is a 75, by the time you get through the process, more like 50% probably, but about a 50% reduction in the cost of the bonds. If those could be incorporated as part of this, or any of the remainder could be incorporated this, that would be a further advantage in lowering the cost of the bonds, or a portion of the cost. So that's one other possibility. But that's basically what I have. Be glad. Any other questions?
I don't.
But if you would like to, I can send you the information, assuming that the Friday meeting is acceptable, if that would be.
It looks open. It sure appears okay. That we're right. The calendar looks good.
I'll try to get the information to you.
If you get it to me, I'll disseminate it to everybody. That'd be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doyle.
Sir. Very, very much. Appreciate you coming down, Doyle.
I hope it'll be helpful to the people that are having some problems now with it.
I'll bet that young lady's got some questions of you.
Uh-oh. Ron, I'm going to take another little break here. You got where are you headed?
We're going back to county board appointments. Let's stand in recess for 5 minutes. Okay.